We just thank you. You are the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. Worthy is your name. Holy is the Lamb who was slain. To receive blessings and honor and power and might. Lord, we thank you tonight. We bless you for this time that you have allotted to us. This season you have given to us. This opportunity to enter. We thank you for the grace. That only by grace can we enter. Only by grace can we stand. He said, where it yet remaineth today, as we hear this voice, Lord, that we should not harden our hearts. We ask tonight that our hearts be softened. He said, you sent forth your word and melted them. We ask tonight for a melting. Oh God, for a melting of the hearts. Oh God, for a melting of the hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray tonight that, Lord, you will shine forth. That the radiance of your glory be made manifest tonight. We ask for the brightness of your appearing tonight. Father, to destroy the principles of rebellion. The secret working of iniquity in the hearts. The mystery of lawlessness. By the breath of your mouth tonight, Lord, that spirit be cast down. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask tonight for the appearing. He said, until the day dawn, that there might be a dawning today. That Lord, you that commanded light to shine out of darkness, you will shine tonight. That there might be a revelation of the glory of God. In the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, tonight, we will not read Moses.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. For we ask you tonight, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there will be liberty.
Amen.
We pray tonight, for the finger of God, the Spirit of the living God, to write upon the tables of our hearts. A new ordinance, a new commandment, a new writing, according to the terms of the new covenant that you promised us. We pray tonight, Lord, that you will anoint our ears to hear, anoint our eyes to see, anoint our hearts to understand and to believe. Release your word tonight. Release your spirit tonight. Thank you, Jesus. We ask, Lord, that you will move in our midst and you will have your way in the name of Jesus Christ. Anoint this meeting tonight. We ask that you give us wine, give us oil, give us corn tonight. That wine will make our hearts glad tonight. The corn will strengthen our hearts tonight. And the oil will make our faces to shine. We bless you. Have your way in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We bless the Lord because we still have an opportunity. Amen. The door is not closed yet. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. There remaineth a rest. There remaineth an entrance available to us into the kingdom. But none of us must take it for granted. The church is in danger of becoming too familiar with the Word of God. And somewhere along the line, we forget the purpose for which that Word is being given to us. We come into a system of religion where we have known that people stand on the pulpit and they preach the word of God. Praise the name of the Lord. And somewhere along the line, we begin to lose sight of the purpose for which this word is given. You can only need to go back to Genesis chapter 1. Praise the name of the Lord. The first time God spoke, He said, let there be what now? Light. And what happened? There was light. There was light. Praise the name of the Lord. The word of the Lord is still intended to achieve that purpose. Praise the name of the Lord. Wherever there is darkness and God's word comes, there must be light. Praise the name of the Lord. The only time when it looks like the word of God is not effective is when men have made a choice. You see that light has come, but men opted for darkness. When you opt for it, it looks as if the word of God is not profitable. But for some, it profited them. For others, it didn't profit them because they prefer darkness. It's time for us to examine our lives. The reason is that all of us have choices to make. Praise the name of the Lord. He said, darkness or light, you have to choose. Praise the name of the Lord. And every time the word of God goes out to you, there is a choice before you to make. Praise the name of the Lord. Sometimes you choose a path. You reject a path. You take a path. You have chosen darkness. Praise the name of the Lord. We must come to a point when by the Spirit of God, we begin to realize the word of God that comes to us, as we're going to see in the course of the sharing we'll have tonight. You know, in Nigeria in those days, when a policeman goes out on patrol, they count the number of bullets they give to him. Do you understand that? When he comes back from patrol, he's supposed to do what now? Give account of each bullet. In those days when things were very tight. Praise the name of the Lord. Every word that you have heard since the time this word came to you, better go back to it. Because the time of accounting has come. Those words, God does not waste them. They are the most precious things God can give to a man. The time for reckoning has come. The time for accounting has come. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I want us to read from Luke chapter 2. You know, this burden is the current burden in my heart for the church. The Lord has been declaring this word. And I'll keep declaring it until the Lord moves to another burden. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 2. Praise the Lord. I read from verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was the governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Praise the name of the Lord. If we were to look for a title tonight, I will title this message, Show Your Lineage. Show Your Lineage. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's time to show your pedigree. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, the story we have here is a story we are very familiar with. Praise the name of the Lord. But we're trusting that tonight that the Spirit of God will open it once again to begin to bring to us something in the very heart of God. Now, I believe that we know, but it seems that the Spirit of the Lord is beginning to remind us again and again and again that we have come to a very critical time. And when you hear this, brethren, believe it. Believe it. Don't believe the lie that things will continue the way they were. Praise the name of the Lord. If there's one thing I know, the destruction, the Bible says, is going to break forth what now? Suddenly, without warning. And it seems that certain people are going to be taken what now? Unawares. In other words, certain individuals who have been hearing this word. The purpose of the word of God is to lift us into a frequency. Amen. Where the dragon cannot touch us. But are we together? Hallelujah. If you look at the popular 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you see that the Lord will descend in his word, isn't it? Praise the name of the Lord. And then we will be do what now? Be caught up into a frequency and remain in that frequency. Are we together, brethren? We are not going to do what now? To come down. Now, if you and I do not, we have been talking about the wings of what now? The eagle, isn't it? The strength that the soul requires to move from this realm and to enter into a place of safety. You know, when I went to renew my visa, Abuja was still on red, what now? Alert. I don't know if you understand what it means that you're walking and a bomb could just go off anytime, anywhere. You haven't had that feeling yet. Praise the name of the Lord. Do you understand the point? You haven't had that feeling yet. You know, I learned a lot from the Jews, the Israelis. You know, during the period of the Intifada, they said something. They said that the terrorists, their intention was to create in them and bring them to live in a state of constant fear. But they said their own counter is that they're going to live their lives, what? Very normally. And so I said, God, I am going to live a normal life for this pyramid in Abuja. Do you understand that? I can't go about wondering when the next bomb is going to come out. I have to believe that I'm in a frequency where if that bomb goes off, nothing. Praise, are we together? That is the only way that we are going to overcome in this time. You say you shouldn't be looking around in terror. That's what the Bible says, don't you? Don't look around fearfully like that. The just will live by what now? His faith. We need to come to a point where it does not matter what happens in this realm. That is the only way, because there's nowhere to run to. Praise the name of the Lord. And brethren, you see, the point is, if we come to a point, and up to this point, we have not been able to appropriate this word and allow it to take us into this dimension in God, then we are, of all men, most foolish. Do you understand what I'm saying, brethren? Of all men, most foolish. Because we are still dallying around today with the cares of this life. You know, the Bible says that when they were eating and they were drinking, they were buying and they were selling, they were marrying and they were giving in marriage. And suddenly, it was destruction. And the destruction took them. And Jesus took time to warn us, don't allow your heart, your soul, to be overcharged with the cares of this life. The devil has only one business, to keep you within his realm. He doesn't mind if you are born again. He doesn't mind if you make noise. As long as you remain within his territory, That's okay for him. Praise the name of the Lord. But brethren, some are going to escape. Praise the name of the Lord. And my prayer is that you and I will be one of these people. Hallelujah. So we'll go back to the story. The Bible says it came to pass in those days. Now, if we are looking at this, those days, when the Bible speaks about time, there are times and seasons in the Word of God. But here, it was a very particular time, those days. And I believe that will refer to this time of the end. The Bible makes it clear that these things are written for us who are living what now at this time of the end. Praise the name of the Lord. So this is something that has to do with us as the story is going to unfold. We're living in the time of... What is it about this time? The truth of the matter is that God, in planning his program, decided that this time we're living in is the time when everything is going to come to what now? A climax. So we see the build-up of evil. Praise the name of the Lord. The build-up of evil. The build-up of evil is reaching its climax. But in the midst of this period, God has ordained also that the church will come to its climax. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together, brethren? It is in this same time that a complete man will come out. Praise the name of the Lord, brethren. Are we together? Yes, this is the time. Peter wrote, he said that the end of all things, the conclusion, the climax is what? At hand. What God began, right now he's about to do what? To finish, to conclude, to execute, to bring to pass. And this is the time we are in. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We must know this. So we find out this is the time. This is the season. The time of the end. God wants to execute his purpose. He wants to bring it to a conclusion. What is that conclusion? To make man in his own image and after what now? His likeness. There must be a man after the likeness of God, such that other men will see, said yes, the gods have come down in the likeness of what now? Of men. Praise the name of the Lord. And so brethren, this is the time that we are in. Now, the Bible tells us that there went out a decree. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, I was thinking a lot about this matter of a decree. Now, what is a decree? You know what a decree is? A decree is a proclamation by a sovereign, a potentate, a king, one in authority, backed in writing, put into writing. Praise the name of the Lord. We are familiar with that, even through the scriptures. We know decrees by governments. But the kind of decree that we are talking about at this time is invisible. Praise the name of the Lord. Yet it is very powerful. Men are obeying that decree right now. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we following what I'm saying? There are some examples in the scriptures that you could see. You know, Pharaoh made a decree. You remember that decree? And these decrees, they come at very critical times. The time when God is about to do something. Hallelujah. The enemy, Brother Bolt was talking about it, he has a way of sensing. I don't think he knows the full picture. Do you understand the point? But you see, he is a very smart fellow too. He senses that God is about to do something. So he always tries to preempt. He makes a decree. You know, it was time for Israel to come out of Egypt. Praise the name of the Lord. According to the promise that God made unto Abraham. Remember the promise? He said, let me tell you something. God brought Abraham to a point where they made a covenant. It was a very serious covenant. In those days, in the Middle East, when you want to make a covenant with somebody, to tie yourself together, you get an animal, you cut it into two. Do you understand that? Then you put one piece, both of you will walk through the two pieces. Do you understand? you have bonded yourself for life. God brought Abraham to a point saying, let's bond ourselves. And after they made that covenant, God says, because we have made this, I can't hide anything from you. Do you understand that? Let me tell you a secret of secrets. He began to tell him a mystery that you and I will also do well today to understand. You know, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like digressing a little. I was talking with some brethren in Nigeria, people who profess end time. You know, I like to use the word end time in a very, you know, with some qualifications. Because as far as I'm concerned, Brother say something, which I agree. Most of us speak the talk end time, but we have a Pentecostal mentality. Praise it. And it manifests in our lifestyle. It manifests in our outlook. When they crunch, you just wait until somebody is getting married. Are we together? You just wait until a brother who says he has seen Zion. When he's getting married, then you will see that that person is in Babylon. Praise the name of the Lord. We suddenly find ourselves bound to, you know, they pull out the kind of traditions they will pull out. Suddenly we feel, this is part of the decree, we feel we have to conform up to the dress we wear. I've had to challenge brethren about the wedding gown that we wear. And I ask them, what makes you feel, don't you understand the point? If you tell a lady not to wear a wedding gown, she'll become your mortal enemy. Now, I'm trying to touch things that need to be touched. Are we getting together? Suddenly, she comes under a power. All the scripture she has read vanishes that day. Because over the years, she has been dreaming about the day she will wear that dress. Hello. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I want to tell you something. When the Lord sets a person free, He actually sets him free. Do you understand what that means? It means you can do anything. Don't you understand that? You are free to be free. You are free to be, not to be, do you understand? So that if you feel that you would like to wear this, it's nobody's word now, business. Don't you understand that? But you see, we have a problem because we feel compelled. The society has set certain things. And I want you to understand that the world you live in was designed by an architect. Do you understand that? The architect who designed, I'm not talking, you see, the God of this world. You know the Bible calls him the God of this age. That word, somebody translates it, called it atmosphere of thought. Norms. Do you understand that? Trends. Views, fashions. There is an architect that is pouring it out. And everybody suddenly flows with it. You feel such a compulsion not to be different. It's a power. It's a decree. That's what we're talking about. That everybody must go. Are we together? Customs. I was telling somebody, customs are instructions by devils to our forefathers, which they have been handing down from generation to generation. There has to come a generation that will break out of this thing. He said that your seed will be strangers in a land that is not their own, in a strange land. But they'll be very comfortable in that land until the time comes. You know what God did to make them uncomfortable? He sent a Pharaoh that began to do what now? Oppressed. Tribulation came to them. Do you understand that? That land was initially comfortable when Joseph was there. But this Pharaoh came and he began to oppress them. And for the first time they realized that this land is not our land. If there had not been tribulation, they would have enjoyed Egypt. Praise the name of the Lord. But trouble came and they began to cry out to God. But a time has to come when instead of trying to give reasons why we can be comfortable in this world, we begin to cry out unto God. Hallelujah. And because this is the time, we say that in the fourth generation, they will come out. Brethren, we are in that generation. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. and we are supposed to be breaking free. You see, if the Son shall set you free, you are what now? You're free indeed. And sometimes we come, when a Christian loses his father or his mother, trouble has come. Do you understand that? Trouble has come. In Africa, in Nigeria, there are such things that need to be done. And I found that Christians have not yet generated sufficient energy. The word that we have heard, we have not appropriated to a point that we can say, do you understand? Stop. No way. We feel bound to still obey that decree. Praise the name of the Lord. We give reasons for them. Praise the name of the Lord. But brethren, we have come to the time when we must cast off this yoke. We must throw it off. Believe me, if you are free, you are what now? You are free. We have to come to a point when I can dress the way I want. And I don't feel that I have to conform to any particular mood. Do you understand the point? You are not free if you are still bound by fashion. You are not free. You are free when you are led by what now? The Spirit. That's when you are free. The only liberty you have is in Christ. Brethren, we must enter into that liberty. Praise the name of the Lord. So that you don't feel strange because you decide to wear, do you understand, this. You must be free. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Christians, you know, it's strange. Somebody is talking, I'm born again, I'm end time. Then when your father dies, you now remember that you come from, you understand, one village, that is the way my people do it. Who are your people? Today you will show your lineage. Hallelujah. You will tell us where you come from. Praise the name of the Lord. Because everybody is returning back to his native land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's part of the decree. The decree says you will go back to your native land and be counted there, and be numbered there, and be enrolled there, and be registered there. There are decrees. Praise the name of the Lord. There are powers that control the things that happen. You know, there are men in the media. You know who they are? They make decrees. When they write an opinion, an editorial, they take the minds of people and push them in a particular direction. If you don't follow the direction, they now make you look strange. All of a sudden, homosexuality, some people are pushing it to make it down the norm. If you don't accept it, you are now strange. It's a decree. Friend, there are all kinds of decrees that are being released at this time. But I want to tell you something. In the midst of all these things, the Most High is also walking. Praise the name of the Lord. The Most High is walking. He said that the wrath of man will praise God. And the remainder of the wrath he will restrain. God is Most High. When kings make decrees, the Most High uses those things to work out what now? His own purpose. Praise the name of the Lord. So we see a decree here. If you look through the scriptures, you will see several decrees. Pharaoh made his decree because Israel was about to come out. And he said, any male, let him be killed. Throw him into the river. There's a decree for your children. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The school system, you know, has been taken over. Are we together? Praise the name of the Lord. Brethren, the teachers, this thing will have been planned for generations. Go for these teachers. They spend more time with your kids than you do. Do you understand that? So witches, where do they go? They are enrolling as teachers. It's a decree. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. After the children. So somebody comes home and says, do this. They know my teacher said this. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. There's a decree. But you see, there are some who have also decided that they will not be afraid of the king's decree. You remember Moses and the parents. The king said, let them be cast into the river. And the parents said, no, this decree will not take our child. They stood their grounds. And that child eventually grew to become a deliverer. Amen. And broke the power of Egypt. Praise the name of the Lord. There is a stand that we need to take at this time. Brethren, you know, I don't know, in Africa, the church has not been able to break out of the power of customs and traditions. And that is the institution of the enemy. He rules. As long as we flow with these things, we are taking instructions and orders from him. And whoever you are submitting to, you cannot resist him. You cannot challenge him. Praise the name of the Lord. The church, we have to move forward, brethren. And I believe that this is the time that God wants to help us to break out. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, what was the purpose of this decree? It says that all the world should be what now? King James says, taxed. But if you read other translations, it's actually a census, a kind of. Praise the name of the Lord. They should be numbered, enrolled, registered, counted. We're going to look at this thing. In fact, they should be written, registered. The whole world. Praise the name of the Lord. We're going to look at that and look at the import and implication of that. But, also, another important aspect was that for you to be enrolled or counted or numbered, you have to go back to the city of your what now, your nativity. Where do you come from? Praise the name of the Lord. It's important until you establish your lineage, your identity, you're going to have problems. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, all this while, Joseph and Mary were living in what now? Nazareth. Now, Nazareth is in Galilee. Praise the name of the Lord. But Joseph was actually from where now? From Bethlehem. Are we together? Which is in Judea. It's a different province. Galilee, Judea. Praise the name of the Lord. And all this while, Joseph had been living in Nazareth. But it was time for him to make a move. Are we together, brethren? It was time for him to change his location. Because the seed that Mary was carrying must be born in Bethlehem. In the city of who now? Of David. So God had to generate a set of circumstances that will make them get up and do what now? And move. Brethren, I tell you something. Be prepared that your life could be turned upside down. Your marriage, your job. You understand my point? Your circumstances, where you live, what you do. God can change it and he will change it in the times that we are entering in. Some of us have made gods out of our careers. I'm sorry for you. Why I'm saying that is because you will have some very serious choices to make. That time will tell us how important this word you have been hearing is to you. Brethren, you see, the truth of the matter is that we have been sleeping. These things, we have been toying with them. And sometimes I tell brethren, I said, wow, some men died for those things. Are we together? Some men were sown asunder. Some men were crucified. I don't know if you understand what I mean. Some men were drowned. Some men were killed in very terrible ways. And they held steadfastly to it. Sometimes, you know, Robert was talking about some of these men looking at us. I really wonder what they think. I don't know if you understand me. You know, the Bible says there's a great cloud of what now? Witnesses. You know, he was saying something I wanted to re-echo. You know, recently, the Lord began to instruct me to go back and read biographies. I had to go and order a lot from Amazon. Hudson Taylor, City Stud, Livingstone, Muller,
you know, and all of them. There's one book I bought recently. It's called The Heavenly Man. I don't know if anybody has heard of that book before. But you go check it out. Order it, read it. Praise the name of the Lord. The Heavenly Man. There are men and women. You know, how you know the reality of this world is the amount of sacrifice that you are prepared to make for it. For us, we have this in this church for most people. This church probably may not be different from any other church for some of us here. In other words, if I'm not in here, I can as well be somewhere else. That's what we have reduced this thing to. But God is preparing us. You see, brethren, if tribulation comes upon us suddenly, and it comes that a man has to make a choice. You know, we're talking with the young people today. You know, and there was this couple that was sharing their testimony. You know, the sister was engaged to a brother, and somewhere along the line, she received these words. Are we together, brethren? She received these words, and she had a choice to make. So she called the brother and said, I'm sorry. Do you understand the point? This is the way I'm going now. She was prepared to do what now? To quit that relationship. Why? Because of the power of the vision that she had what now? Received. She believed it. Wow, that's quite heavy. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together? That's quite heavy. I was very encouraged. I was very encouraged. You know how God works. When you are prepared to lose your life, you don't lose it, you save it. And God bless her. Praise the name of the Lord. That's God. But the truth is, I speak to the young people. When the crunch will come, and you have to get married, that's when we know whether you believe the things that you are hearing here. Because the power of marriage, you know, and the marriage, you see, for most people, marriage is actually a societal norm. You understand the point? It is not marriage as God ordained it. It is marriage to answer Mrs. Do you understand the point? And in the society, you feel respectable. You have now joined the ranks of those who are Mrs. That is all a worldly mentality. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, during the camp in Port Harcourt in December, a brother shared a very interesting aspect about the daughters of Zelophehad. Praise the name of the Lord. You know their story very well. You know, the daughters of Zelophehad, their father died without, just had only daughters. There was no son. So the implication was that they were going to lose their inheritance. So they came to Moses and said, look at this situation. Our father died. He didn't have a son. But he was a faithful man. He was not one of those who were taken in the rebellion of Korah. Praise the name of the Lord. That were, they asked, let's give us an inheritance. Our father's inheritance. So Moses said, let's ask the Lord. And when he asked the Lord, they said, let's say these women, they are what now? They are right. Give them their father's inheritance. But it was on one condition. Praise the name of the Lord. They must marry within their tribe so that they can keep their inheritance. If they marry outside their tribe, they lose their inheritance. Friends, do you understand what that means? You must marry within your tribe. Hello, did you hear what I said? If you want to keep your inheritance, you have to now decide which one is more important. Marriage or inheritance. Praise the name of the Lord. We are coming to a time when this thing, you must show your lineage. You must prove which tribe you are from. Because every tribe, there is a specific blessing for that tribe. There's a specific portion for that tribe. There is a specific inheritance for that tribe. Time has come when we have to prove what we are hearing. Praise the name of the Lord. I cannot hear this word. You know, we had a shock, you know, worry. This girl had been in fellowship. One morning she wakes up, she's married an unbeliever. You know, I looked at it, I could not comprehend it. Praise the name of the Lord. But I realized something. They are not all Israel, which are Israel. Are we together, brethren? So, what the gathering here is basically a platform. Praise the name of the Lord, brethren. For you to hear certain words that will lead you to certain decisions and choices that you must of necessity make. Praise the name of the Lord, brethren. And when a gathering loses that whole concept, it becomes irrelevant to God. Don't think that God is stuck with this assembly. If you become irrelevant, He will sweep you aside. So you must always see everything in the context of the purpose of God. And you as an individual too. So, Brain, the issue that has plagued the church has been the issue of identity. Who are you? Until you identify yourself, you can do nothing. Who are you? Who are you will determine where you are, what you do, where you marry, and all that. So for the daughters of Zelophehad, the Lord said they must marry within their what now? Tribe. And brethren, when I talk about marriage, I'm not just only talking about physical marriage. Marriage is that which you give your affection to. That which you give your heart to. Many of us are married outside our tribes. There are things that we have given our affection to that are outside the context of God's plans and purposes. Praise the name of the Lord. Brethren, are we together? These are very serious times. These are very sovereign times. It's time to show who you are. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me move forward. Now, Joseph had to move. He had to leave Nazareth. And he had to get back to Bethlehem by circumstances. But you see, it was all part of God's divine arrangement because she was already heavy. And brethren, there's a church that is pregnant today. It's time. You see, she saw a woman, she was traveling in what now? In birth. But she needed to move. It wasn't a very easy journey for a pregnant lady. Do you understand that? In those days, they didn't have cars. She was on a donkey. And you need to go to Israel and understand the kind of terrain that they had. Because it wasn't very funny at all. And they got there, and it was, you know, the whole place was crowded. So the thing delayed. Because I'm sure Joseph would have wanted to just finish the thing and do what now, and get back quickly to Nazareth. There were delays. You know, sometimes there are delays in our lives. Are we together? We have come to a point when circumstances become the determining factors in our lives. But brethren, God must be the determining factor. Praise the name of the Lord. This delay kept them there. And they had to stay there. While they were still there, Mary's time came. And she had to give birth in Bethlehem as it was written in the Word of God. Praise the name of the Lord. Prophecy was fulfilled there due to circumstances. And brethren, I believe that some of the circumstances that we find in our lives is God working to fulfill what now? Prophecy. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We are in very serious times. And I think that a lot of, you know, the things about our lives, God wants us to reevaluate them. Our priorities, brethren. You know, our priorities. You know, sometimes I hear brethren talk. You know, it's good. We have children. We want the best education for them. We make great plans for them. Best schools for them. Great plans. But we spend very little time trying to find out what God will have us to do. You know, I was just talking with Ike. You know, okay, I think what brought that raised up that issue about civil war. Some years ago, the Lord spoke to me, you know, and It was a message I preached one of the December meetings. It started Sons and Responsibility. And it was very specific. It said, if the church does not rise up and take this gospel and take it where he wants it to be, we come from Nigeria, a lot of us here, and God has invested so much in that country. God doesn't do things by chance. Really focus on a country. Before even the gospel came, he blessed the country with tremendous wealth and prepared men and women. Now, somewhere along the line, we became prosperous. So we buy one car after another. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, we have begun to indulge ourselves in luxuries. You know, and we feel we have really arrived. We're now competing with the world. We have lost the vision of sacrificial living. And the Lord says specifically that if we don't get to take this responsibility, he will send a civil war. And then all of us will be scattered. Some will now head to Ethiopia as refugees. Some will go to Gabon, Sierra Leone, all those places, and will now go there and preach this end time. That year, well, not much happened. Not much was said about it until I think a year or two after, Brother Campbell now, you know, brought forth the same word. Praise the name of the Lord. And God means it. Even the disciples, you know, they were clustered in Jerusalem until persecution came and did what now? Scattered them, they spread out. God is committed to what he wants to do. The fact that you are working is a privilege God has given you. Do you understand the point? He can wake you up one morning and say, look, do you understand that? Jesus called men. Peter was fishing. He said, look, stop that. Follow me. What did they do? They stopped the business. We live in a realm where career is God. And God says, thou shalt have no other God before me. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, these are very cold facts, but they are real and they are true. Any man whom God has called, he said, they immediately, you know what that word means? He said, immediately he left everything and followed him. Immediately. They didn't start, you know, immediately they responded. Those things are testimonies, they are witnesses there for all of us. I don't know if God will ask you to leave your job, but you have to come to a point when if he does, you will not be bitter against him. Are we together? We will not be bitter against him. You would have come to a point of a born slave. A born slave's wife. Do you know, when a slave has finished serving his time, any wife he acquired in the course of the service, any children he has in the course of the service belongs to who? Belongs to his master. Brethren, we don't understand that. But we need to begin to understand. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Brethren, this is where we are. Praise the name of the Lord. Now let me push this word. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah! It says here that verse 3, it says, and all went to be taxed, everyone into what now? His own city. In other words, you must return to your nativity to be registered, to be counted, to be enrolled. Now, let's look at that. Let's come down to it. Praise the name of the Lord. First of all, I want to establish the purpose of this taxation, and then we'll follow the trend from there. First of all, Augustus Caesar wanted to know how many were within the territories. Each city, each family, praise the name of the Lord, each province, the number. And of course, this was for the purpose of taxation. So that as you are registering, you register your name, you register your profession, then you now register your value, your estate, how much you are worth. Praise the name of the Lord. So that based on that, the king will know how much can I expect from, you understand, this individual. It's actually an assessment. It's actually an evaluation of the measure of Christ in you. I want to tell you, brethren, it means that at this time of the end, all of us are going to be put in the scale and you're going to be weighed. On this side is a man, Jesus. You know, when you have a scale, it's two sides, isn't it? They put one on this side and then you are going to be put on the other side. And after it, there's going to be a writing. You have been weighed on the scale and you have been found wanting. What is the measure? We're going to see that. You see, every day God has been making an investment in you and in me. The word that you have been hearing is a resource, a substance, money that has been given to you, put into you, invested in you. And brethren, at the end of the day, God is going to weigh you to see how much of Christ you have acquired. How much of Christ you have acquired at this time of the end. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So that he knows, what can I expect from you? Friends, do you understand my point? What is can the Lord expect at this time of end? You know, I was telling the lady about a man named Ananias. God woke this man up in the night and said, Ananias, go. Go to a street called Straight. Do you understand that? Go to house number so and so. Knock on the door. Ask for a man named Saul of Tarsus. When you enter, lay your hands on him. He will receive his sight. He will be filled with the Holy Ghost. Why would God do that to a man? It was because God had evaluated Ananias. Do you understand that? You see, for God to give you a certain assignment, he knows that you have a capacity to carry out that assignment. People talk about manifestations of the sons of God. It is all a matter of the measure of Christ that you have acquired. How much is going to be found in you at the end of the day? Praise the name of the Lord. We need to think about it. Because every one of us is going to give an account. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So, brethren, there's going to be a reckoning. There's going to be a numbering. There's going to be a counting. There's going to be a registering. There's a register. Your name is going to be put there. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. This writing is something that is already going on. We are being recorded. You are being registered. I want to read something from the book of Romans. Praise the name of the Lord. Romans chapter 1. Let's see if we can push off from there. Romans chapter 1. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 1. Praise the Lord. Let me see where I can find that. Yeah, I'm just trying to find out verse. There's a scripture here. It says, receiving in themselves the... Let me see where it is. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, let me just start with it. I'm sure we'll find it. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his inner power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me just jump. Let me see, 27. Okay, good. Verse 27, please. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. He says, and likewise also the man, leaving the natural use of the woman, born in their lust one towards another, men with men, walking that which is unseemly, and receiving what? In themselves, that which is that recompense of their error, which was meat. Now, this is going to be the fulcrum of which we are going to be dealing. Receiving in themselves. Now, let me read it from one of that translations, a couple of translations. Praise the name of God. I'm just copying them out. One translation says, and suffering in their bodies and in their personality. Are we together, brethren? Suffering. Now, they were doing certain things, and then the consequences of what they were doing, they were receiving it where? In their bodies and in their souls. Now, let's not get this, let's not make mistake here. The things we do, the thoughts we think, the actions we do, rebound. They put certain writings on our soul. They are recorded. You know, just like, you know, the Bible says God says he will write his law. Are you getting my point now? There are also other writings. Men are doing things that are causing certain recordings, certain writings. You see, whatever you do, your actions are actually an expression of whatever writing is upon what now? Your soul. Praise the name of the Lord. Let me read the other translation. This one says, they receive in their own persons the consequences. This one says, they experience among themselves. This one says, they suffered within themselves. But look at this translation. This one says, getting paid within their own souls. Do you understand? There was a payment for the actions, for the reactions, for the thoughts that they were thinking, their attitudes. But then these things are not just, they don't just go into the air. They are recorded where? In our personality. And it says in our bodies too. Humanity is suffering the impact of generations upon generations, do you understand, of rebellion. Today, humanity, you know, even the lifespan is coming down, isn't it? Praise the name of the Lord. These are writings. These are consequences. Brethren, what the Lord is saying is that we are in a time when every man is going to receive the consequences of the, that is, just recompense of the choices that we are making. There is no choice that doesn't have consequences. It's a law. Every choice has a consequence. That's the way God designed life. From the very beginning, it says, choose. If you choose life, you will have life. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, why I say this is because sometimes the Bible tells us, even Christians are thoughtless. We say things, we do things, we make, you know, we react to things without pondering what are the consequences of what I'm doing. The whole of Scripture is a book of consequences. Praise the name of God. From the very beginning to the end, it's a book of consequences of choices that men made. They are all set there as examples unto who now? Unto us. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. This translation says, in their bodies they receive the punishment. That's what it says. So because they knew God, but yet they refused to give him honor as what now? As God. But in this matter, God is saying, look, choices have to be made. We have heard these things enough. It's now time to decide. What do we want to do with this thing? What will I do with Jesus of Nazareth? Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so there is a right thing going on. There is a registration. Where are you going to be, what now? Registered. Joseph was identified. You know what the Bible says of him? He had to go to what now? Bethlehem. Because he was of the lineage, the house of who? Of David. Do you know who the house of David is? Now, everything God has to do revolves around the house of David. This David was a very peculiar character. Praise the name of the Lord. He was a man among men. God said, I haven't seen this kind of man before. Praise the name of the Lord. You know David very well. It's a man that you cannot, it's incredible. David had, you know, anointed kings, and he refused to take the kingdom. Do you understand that? He refused to take it. He waited for God, who had anointed him to do what now? To give him the kingdom. If we had the heart of David, most of the issues we have in church, we would not have it. Even when the enemy was brought near him, David would not touch him. When Absalom ran him out of town, do you understand, brethren? David would not. He had to wait for Israel to say, come back. Praise the name of the Lord. And God is looking for this David company. These people with the same attitude of David. What lineage are you of? We must return back. You know, God is bringing a word to the brethren who have heard this word end time. Because as we return, you know, as we're going to look at Ezra, many returned to Babylon. From Babylon. But it wasn't enough. When they got to Babylon, they had to be registered. What now? Open. Are you aware of that? They got to Babylon, you now have to look for your name where? Inside the register. I want to read. Let's look at Ezra chapter 2. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, most people think it's enough to say, I've come out of this, I've come out of that. The register is about to be opened. You know where the register is? It's here. Praise the name of the Lord. When I went together, you have to show your lineage. Now, it's important that you're able to see your name in the register. The Jews kept records scrupulously. Because it is your lineage that entitles you to the priesthood. Are you getting my point? If you cannot show your lineage, you have no part in the priesthood. It is your lineage that entitles you to your inheritance. So that's why they kept register. They had a book of life. The moment a child is born, they enter his name where? In the register of life. The moment you die, they enter your name in the register of death and remove it from the book of life. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together? Okay. Men came back from Babylon. Praise the name of the Lord. Ezra chapter 2. I read from verse 1. Praise the Lord. Are we there? Okay. Verse 1 says, now these are the children of the province that went up out of the captivity of those that had been carried away, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away into Babylon, and came again unto Jerusalem and Judah, everyone to his own city. What city are you? Your character, your speech will betray you. You know, when Peter was denying, he was from Galilee. Now, if you understand, Galilee is the low country. Do you understand? The people from Judea despised the Galileans. And the Galileans, they had a very thick, what now, accent. They were mostly fishermen and farmers. Funny enough, that's where Jesus lived. Funny enough, that's where the bulk of his ministry. Do you understand? Those cities of Galilee, Cana and Galilee, Nain, do you understand? You just call them Nazareth, you know, Bethsaida, all those cities. most of his ministry was around that area. And a part of Galilee was also mixed with the Gentiles. So they called them Galilee of the Gentiles. Praise the name of the Lord. So, but you see, in Judea was where the Herodians were, the Sadducees, the Pharisees. Do you understand? You know, all those, the big church, the scribes, the top people. So when you say Galilee, they just look at you like, can any good thing come out of that that place? So when they heard that there was this prophet there, initially they dismissed it. But after where the stories began to increase, so they had to send spies. Do you understand? To go find out what is really happening there. But you see, when Peter was denying, you know, their accent, Galilean accent is very thick, very strong. They say you can't deny it. It's where? It's in your mouth. Your speech does what now? Betrays you. Because they knew that it was only Judas Iscariot who was from Judea. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. Judas Iscariot was the only of the disciples that was not a Galilean. The rest were Galileans. And he was the intellectual. He was the most intelligent disciple. He was the most accomplished. He was an accountant. He was dealing with, you know, and he was, you know, he had high ambitions. And he got him into big trouble. Praise the name of the Lord. What city are you from? You know, sometimes we think that natural ability is an advantage. It could be a big, what now, disadvantage. Do you understand? The other fishermen from humble background allowed Jesus and his ministry changed them. Judas had a problem. Praise the name of the Lord. Pray, now we together. Hallelujah. You know, so you must identify your nativity. Where are you from? Because you have to return there. And so, brethren, every day as we move through life, you better watch your steps. Where are you, what now, returning to? You know, the Bible says that the redeemed of the Lord shall return to Zion. Where are you going to? The direction you're taking in life, where is it taking you to? Is it taking you to Zion? You need to watch the handwriting on the wall. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You need to watch the handwriting on the wall. Because every man must return to his what now? Nativity. In the year of Jubilee, you must return to your possession. You must return to your family. Praise the name of the Lord. This is the time, brethren. This is the hour. Praise the name of the Lord. What writing is going on in your life? Where are you headed to? Praise the name of the Lord. Now let's continue reading. Now, we just jump and go to verse 59. Very interesting thing happened here. He says, verse 59, and these were they which went off from Telma, Telmela, Telhassa, Keru, Adan, and Ima. But they could not show their father's house and their seed whether they were of Israel. You know what it means to show? Show means to demonstrate, to manifest, to reveal, to express. They couldn't bring forth this nature. They couldn't bring forth this character. When circumstances came forth, they were showing a strange lineage. Here, this man, you know, they were, when they came back, they had to go to the register. Of course, it was evident because you have to show your lineage so that you can go back to the ancestral land. Do you understand? Where you were before you came out. Am I communicating to you? Once you identify your tribe, they take you back to your original, what now, inheritance. You must possess your possession. You can't move to somebody else's portion. Now here, they were these men, they could not show that they were Israelites. Their names were not on the register. There was nothing about them to show that they had any business with the people of Israel. And so they had no inheritance. They had no portion. So they had to go. I don't know where they went to. But they could not stay. Now, but let's look at this second aspect. And now we'll now go to the priests. He says, and of the children of the priests, the children of Habiah, the children of Koz, the children of Barzillai, which took a wife of daughters of Barzillai, the Gileadites, and was called after their name. Now look at a very interesting story here. There was this man here, either Habiah or Koz. He was a priest. He was a lineage of the priesthood. Do you understand that? But married a daughter of Barzillai. How many people remember Barzillai here? The man who helped David. He was a big man, a wealthy man. So when David was fleeing, he was providing him with food and all that. When David came back, he had to tell David, said, come and sit with me in my palace, eat and drink. He said, I'm too old for that. Let my son Chimham go with you. But that made the name Barzillai to be recognized in Israel. So this man married the daughter of Barzillai. And the children, instead of answering their father's name, felt that the name Barzillai was prominent. It was connected. It was famous. I don't know if you understand the point, brethren. It could bring them promotion, business contacts. It could make them, you know, like some ladies when they marry, they still attach their, you understand, their maiden name, you know, because they felt the name would take them into places. It would open doors for them. These people felt Barzillai gave them some great advantages. So they left their father's name and now began to answer what now? Barzillai. You know the problem? They could not maintain their name in the register. So when they came back, they said, we are priests. We are sons of Aaron. When they opened the register, their names were not there. Friends, I don't know if you understand that. They had chosen worldly advantage over their spiritual heritage. Are we together? So they couldn't show that they were priests. They said, so don't come near. Don't touch holy things. Don't eat holy things. But then many make choices today. You know, Paul said, I have natural advantages. Hebrew of the Hebrew, tribe of Benjamin. Do you understand that? You know, a Pharisee. Do you understand the point? Circumcised on the eighth day. I mean, have things that I could really be very proud of. But he said, whatever things I counted gain, I counted them what now? In fact, Amplifier said, less than rubbish. Less than rubbish. For the excellence, in other words, he chose a different lineage. The lineage of Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise, you see, most of us need to make choices. They could be costly choices. When Moses refused to be called by the name of the daughter of Pharaoh, it cost him materially. But compare the glory that Moses saw on the mount. Bring our way together, brethren. He didn't know what God had in store for him. But he made a very, very difficult choice. These men here, they realized it too late. They lost the privilege of the priesthood. And brethren, make no mistake about it. The covenant of the priesthood of Melchizedek, it's very high. It gives us access into heavenly places. Friend, are we together? It gives us capacity to eat of the bread of heaven. Angel food, brethren. You have to decide if it's important enough for you to discard certain worldly advantages. Praise the name of the Lord. These are great choices. And praise God, the church must come to make choices. We are too much into the earthly advantages. And we're not realizing that these things cost us. They cost us access into the heavens. That certain prayers are not being answered because our consecration has not been proved. There are certain proofs that God must have from a person before he can allow him into certain aspects. David had to test men before they could cross over with him. Do you understand the point? When he was moving out, Ittai the Gittite said, look, go back to your country. This is not your war. Ittai said, no, sir. Where you die, that's where I want to die. Praise the name of the Lord. When David had proved his loyalty, his consecration, he said, come and cross over with me. Praise, we are the threshold of crossing into another dimension in God. But I tell you, the uncircumcised and the unclean will not cross that threshold. They cannot cross the threshold. There are things in God. Look, and if we don't address this matter, you know, where we are, there's nothing new. We must address the issue of circumcision. You know, when Jesus was born, they had to take him to the temple. Two things. They had to conclude the aspect of purification, and they had to take him for what now? For circumcision. Now, that is what enables us to cross the threshold, to begin to touch another dimension of reality. That is the prayer I have, brethren. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brethren, we are that threshold. It's a time for choice, evaluations. We have to take out the gods that we have made, one by one. Do you understand the point? And throw them out of the window. One by one, God is going to put us to the test. And say, if I ask you for this, will I get it from you? Are we together, brethren? Will I get it from you? Here we are. I'm being written every day. God is writing upon me. God is writing. I'm being registered. I'm being recorded. Something is being engraved upon my life. And brethren, sooner or later, that book is going to be what now? Opened. You know, I was reading through, you know, when they say they sort their register, one of the words for register is scripture. Katab. You understand? Writing, engraving, scripture. They look for their scripture. You know, Jesus came, when the devil came to tempt him, he said, it is what now? It is written. Where was it written? Was it in the Bible? Oh no. God wants to write something. Let me tell you, brethren, when this word you have heard begins to be engraved and embroidered in the fabrics of your personality, when you come, the devil comes, it is not you that will speak, it is the testimony in you that will speak.
Hallelujah.
The testimony here, until this thing is transferred here, you can't say it is written. Many quote scriptures. Hallelujah. It is the testimony here that speaks. And brethren, God wants to write. This writing, we are actually saying it is the cumulative consequence of the choices that you have made all through your life. God wants to seal it. Praise the name of the Lord. God wants to put a final seal on it. When Jesus was being crucified, Pilate wrote something. He said, this is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Do you understand that? People didn't understand. The Jews were challenging that thing. But the Lord was affirming it. He said, what I have written, I have written. The kings of this earth want to challenge the writing. For God wants to establish the writing. He says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing in their hearts? It's not just Jesus. It's also you. He said, I have set my Holy One. He said, I have spoken certain things about you. If only we open our hearts and allow the Lord to write them, nothing can stand before us. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we are afraid. You know, people say certain things. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, they said, I was checking. You know, just he said seven things on the cross. Seven things were also said about him. They were somewhere mocking. He saved others. Himself he could not save. Do you understand that? He's calling Elijah. Let us see if Elijah will come down and save him. You know, sometimes when a man is going through the cross experience, you know, we are living in a Pentecostal world where miracles is the order of the day. Some people expected that he would have done something. And he could have done something. He told them, said, if I ask my father, he will send 12 what now? Legion of angels. But brethren, we are crossing to another threshold. It is not a Pentecostal realm. I was telling some brethren, I have a guy in Owerri. He did a fast. Lord led him to do a fast for 2 years. when he came out of that fast, he's no longer a human being. I'm telling you, he is functioning in realms that you can't imagine. If I tell you, you will not believe it. But he broke through certain thresholds and barriers. Well, I can assure you, in a few months you'll start hearing of him, because the world is going to change. But the point is that, in spite of all that, do you understand the point? His personality, you know, is still human. Let me just use the word. Do you understand? And God is telling me, I have something much more better for you. Even though that is challenging in itself. Praise the name of the Lord. Brethren, before we can enter into this dimension, you must go through the cross. You refuse it, you will get nowhere. God will not commit this dimension of glory unto men who have not been terminated. He won't give it. So if you choose the Pentecostal realm, which is I call it a non-discriminatory anointing. God said that he gave his gift even unto the wicked, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Do you understand that? It's an anointing that you can abuse. Are we together? You can misuse. And people have been abusing it and misusing it. And God says, fine, it is serving a purpose for a particular time. But God has something much more better. But the people who will get to this thing must die. So they said many things about him. They mocked him. Do you understand the point? If you are the son, come down from the cross. They said many things. You see, but he endured it. You know what I love best? The last statement that was made about him. It wasn't even made by a Jew. It was made by a Gentile. He said, truly, this was the Son of God. That is the final testimony. That is the most important testimony. After all the mocking, the shame, the reviling, the nonsense they have said, the same people will open their mouths and say, truly, this was the Son of God. Praise the name of the Lord. That's my testimony, brethren. I am willing to endure these other ones so that I can get this one. I don't know what you want. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We must move on, brethren. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We must move on. We must move on. God wants to bring us to the end of this matter. Are you going to be registered? What writing is being written upon you? When the books are opened, you know the Bible said the books were opened. Which books do you think were opened? I can tell you, it's you. You are that epistle that men are going to read. I don't know what they are going to read, but the book will be opened. You know the Bible said that the thoughts of men's hearts shall be laid bare. Whatever is written there will be manifest for all the world to see. Praise the name of the Lord. Something permanent is taking place in your life. Make sure it is for good. Are we together, brethren? Make sure it is for good. Make sure that what you are allowing to be written, because as I'm talking to you, the enemy wants to write. As you pass on the road, there are billboards. You know, the things you see there want to be reflected where? In your personality. Everybody wants to write on the pages of your Facebook. Are we together? Yes. But it's the Lord that you must allow. You know, God told Moses, he said, come up the mountain. Leave this whole thing. Do you understand? Come up. I want to write something on you. Bring two tables. Those tables are tables of our hearts. Do you understand that? He said, God wrote with the finger of God. He wrote his laws there. Moses came down. Praise the name of the Lord. His face was what now? Was shining. It's time we apply ourselves. Everywhere we go, the enemy is infringing into our space. He won't allow you space. You get out there, you must see something that will grieve your heart. He's writing. But the Lord wants to do something. He said he is going to do what now? Every handwriting that is contrary to you, He wants to do what? Erase. That's what we are looking at, that word, epigrapho. Said, I will write my, epi means over, on top of. Are you getting my point? In other words, there's a current writing that is already there. That writing is your personality. The things you do, the way you behave, is because of a writing that is what? Upon you. But he said, I will write a new name. I will write a new name within you. Praise the name of the Lord. I want to submit myself for writing. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to conclude. You see, when men were coming to be numbered, in fact, I was checking up something. I saw something in Ecclesiastes. It says, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 15. And God was showing me, it was like a principle of numbering. It says here, that which is wanting, that which is deficient, cannot be numbered. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together? In other words, if you are to be counted, Psalm 87 says, you remember that psalm? It says that the Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of what now? Of Jacob. You know, men will come. Can you just get that on the board? Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, just go on. Okay, look at verse 4. He said, I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This man was born in her. If you look at it from a much more modern translation, what it means that certain men come and say, they are claiming. Do you understand that? I was born in Philistia. I was born in Ethiopia. I was born in Egypt. But concerning the people born in Zion, it is the Lord that testifies what now concerning them. A time is coming when the Lord will declare those who are of what now? Of Zion. Praise the name of, and of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her. Praise the name of the Lord. I want that to be my testimony, because that's where I'm going to be registered. You know, when the writer of Hebrews says we have come to Mount Zion, it means you and I have been enrolled in Zion. It says that the Lord shall count when he writeth up what now? The people. Praise the name of the Lord. There is a numbering, there is a writing. In other words, God is writing, said, this one is born in Zion. This one born in Zion. Praise the name of the Lord. But some will not be written in Zion. If you look at the book of Ezekiel, chapter 13, God began to speak about certain ministers who did not tell his people the truth. Are we together? They encouraged worldliness. They encouraged ethnicity. They encourage carnality. He said that these ones, in the day when I write up my people, they shall not what now be written. They will be omitted in the register of Zion. Brother, I don't know if you understand. And where is this? What does it mean to write? It means to acquire the heavenly what now? Nature. One translation, one dictionary says to write means to put character on something. That's the definition of writing. This thing you see here is character. Do you believe that? Do you understand? Write means to put what now? Character on something. So when God says, I will write on you, God wants to put what now? His character on you. He said, I will write on you. I will put my character where? On you. You see, this one, it says that the church of the firstborn is written where? In heaven. It means that they have a heavenly nature, a heavenly what now? Character. But in Jeremiah 17, he said, O Lord God, they that forsake you shall be written where? In the earth. Praise the name of the Lord. So some are being written in the heavens. That is their city. Do you understand that? Because you are returning to your city to be what now? Registered. There is a Jerusalem that is above. That is where I'm being enrolled. Praise the name of the Lord. It's a new nature. It's a heavenly character. And there is a Jerusalem that is below in bondage. Some people are also being registered there. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, brethren, as we tidy up, the church is under evaluation. The church is under judgment. Are we together? The Lord is saying, it is not enough that you have come out of Babylon. You must find your name in the book. You must establish your lineage. He said, these priests, some came, they could not show. Look at verse 62. He said, they sought their register. They sought their scripture. They sought their writing among those that were reckoned by genealogy, but they were not found. Therefore, they were as polluted, put away from the priesthood. You see, many are going to be disqualified from the priesthood. Praise the name of the Lord. Many will not be able to touch the things that God is, you know, releasing to his people. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Brethren, these are serious times. I don't know how to overemphasize this. But I need to reevaluate many things. I need to reevaluate many things. Our priorities have to change. Maybe God will send a serious tribulation for us to reevaluate our lives. But I pray that we'll come to a place of making right choices. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Making right decisions. Now I want to close by reading from Malachi chapter 3. Praise the name of the Lord. You see, God has a purpose for this numbering. If the Lord, I was reading somewhere, said that the Lord knoweth them that are what now are his. So if he knows them that are his, why is he now numbering them? Praise the name of the Lord. And I was saying that the Lord is not numbering them for himself. Do you understand the point? He's numbering them to reveal them. To publicly what now? Declare them. To publicly manifest them. To show to the devil that these ones are mine. Malachi chapter 3. Praise the name of the Lord. Go down there. He says, and they shall be mine. Go towards the end. Praise the name of the Lord. Verse 16 says, then they that fear the Lord spoke often one to another. We need to encourage ourselves. Because a time came when they were calling the wicked righteous. Do you understand? Things were really muddled up. People were encouraging, you know, covetousness in the name of prosperity and all kinds of situations. But those who fear the Lord speak often one to another. And the Lord heard and what now? Hearkened, and a book of remembrance was what now? Written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Now look at verse 17. I'm going to read it from Amplified. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me read it. It says, then those who fear the Lord talked then one to another, and the Lord listened and heard it. A book of remembrance was written before him of those who reverenced and worshipfully feared the Lord and who thought on his name. And they shall be mine, say the Lord of hosts, in the day when I publicly recognize them and openly declare them. Do you understand me, brethren? There is a day of public recognition. There's a day of open declaration. And all creation is waiting for that day. That God will look at the people and say, these ones are my people. Today, everybody is claiming to be God's people. Are we together? But God says, I am the one who will say, this one was born in what now? In Zion. It is God's testimony. It was God who testified of Jesus publicly. He said, this one is my son. Listen to him. Follow him. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He says, and I recognize them openly and declare them to be my jewels, my special possession and peculiar treasure. And look, he said, I will spare them as a man spares his son who said, in a day of destruction, God will spare his people. He will make a distinction. He said, this day, I'm going to put a distinction between Israel and the rest. Praise the name of the Lord. And brethren, he will spare his own. And then he said, you shall return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him who serves God and him who does not what now serve him. Praise the name of the Lord. And brethren, this is why God wants to publicly show, both to the devil. You know, that to be a presentation. He said, I will present them. Just like a first fruit, Jesus will present the people. God will declare them, say, look, I have, this is my holy one. I have set him upon Mount, what now? Zion. Praise the name of the Lord. And so, but I just want to encourage us in a time like this. God wants us to do some serious re-evaluation. Praise the name of the Lord. Serious re-evaluation. Serious stock taking. How much, how far are we prepared to go with this word? How much sacrifice can the Lord make of us and will give? God called a man, Abraham. He said, give me your only son. It's easy to read that scripture. And we've read it so many times. But sometimes I think about it. But God was trying to show some spirit that I have people. Do you understand the point? Anything I ask them, they will give me. They love me much more than their own lives. Praise the name of the Lord. He wants to boast in them. And brethren, our turn will come. Be sure of it. Your turn will come when God will say, this one, anything I ask him, he will give me. Praise the name of the Lord. I hope the Lord will not be embarrassed. I hope you have cause to say, I am proud of you. Praise the name of the Lord. So as we pray, brethren, let's have time to think. Summary is this. Everything that you have known that is called end time is going to be shaken. By the time God is through with it, you won't recognize your fellowship. Are we together, brethren? I'm telling you the truth. That's what the Lord is telling me. You won't recognize this whole thing. The thing is going to go up. Boah. And you see, we need to know that God is moving from the things that are seen to the things that are what now? Unseen. For many of us, this thing has become just another fellowship. And you see, time is coming. You know, when Jesus ministered to the disciples for 3.5 years, they thought that was what the way it's going to be. Miracles, signs and wonders, popularity and everything. They really felt, well, the best bet is now build a big church, you understand? And we're now there. And then he just crashed the whole thing. I don't know if you understand the point. He crashed the whole thing. He just went and died and spoiled everything. Do you understand the point? Things were going on very fine. He just went and died. You know, that was part of Judas' problem. He went and died. Everybody ran away. Peter said, let's go back to fishing. But they didn't know that it was the beginning of the new thing. This is not what God is interested in. This is not what he's interested in. He's interested in a new creation.
Amen.
All of this will go. Do you know when the new thing came? When Mary Magdalene saw him, she couldn't recognize him. Do you understand the point? The thing had changed beyond. See, brother, I tell you something. When we cross the threshold, we will still have fellowship. But you see, strangers here will not understand what is going on. You will hear voices. You know, we are here, seeing things, hearing things. And somebody is here, wondering, what is going on? Brother, I don't understand the point. There is a veil that is, when it is broken, Peter, Paul, James will be part of the fellowship. Do you understand that? It's said in the times of the dispensation of the fullness of time, he will bring them what now? Together, raining the veil. Hallelujah. And brethren, the uncircumcised, the people who have not allowed God to cut off the foreskin, will not be able to participate and partake. In fact, the time will come when they will be afraid to come to fellowship. Don't you understand that? Just like it was at the beginning, after Ananias and Sapphira died, people were afraid to come to church. Are you getting my point now? We're afraid to come to church. And brethren, we are reaching that threshold. It can't be business as usual. There's got to be a fear of God when we realize that God is a consuming word now. Fire. You know, today we are pushing people. You know, fear God. Fear God. But he said in that day that an angel was flying into the heavens. Do you understand? With the everlasting gospel saying, fear God and give him glory. Because the hour of his judgment is what now has come. Bring the hour of his judgment has come. Starting from end time. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And better I tell you, when this whole business is over, you will recognize it, but you will love it. Praise the name of the Lord. It's a new thing altogether. So we have reached a threshold. The words that we have heard from the time these words started coming, it's time for evaluation. Every word you have heard, you will give account of it. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's prepare ourselves for this new thing. I trust that the Lord will help us. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, as Brother Barry was concluding, these words of these songs, this song just came to my heart. You know, I believe it's a combination of a work of sanctification and consecration and dedication we all, you know, need to, you know, get ourselves involved with, you know, at the end of this conference. And it simply says that, you know, I shall be holy unto the Lord. We can personalize it and we can say we need to be holy unto the Lord. For the Lord our God is what? Holy. You know, we need to sanctify ourselves. You know, let the word of God do that inward cleansing. You know, inward change, you know, that is required. You know, and I trust, you know, that as we just lift up that song to the Lord, hallelujah, that the Lord will, you know, give us, you know, that grace, you know, that, you know, determination to allow, you know, that the word of God to wash us, to cleanse us, to make us wholly consecrated to him. In the name of Jesus. Let's just sing that song to the Lord and trust, you know, that the Lord will, you know, give us the grace to, you know, yield to him. Hallelujah.
One minute, I just like to say that as severe as this word is, the Bible calls it